You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, things are bad. And tonight, you're going to find out that they're not getting any better. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door.
Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. It's the law passing. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power of tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Serve your taxes. Give me your toes. You better obey if you want to come home. That's the discount I do with your toes.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and putting things hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Buffalo Bright, Clinton's preparing it for another huge attack.
We want it all.
Chaos, depression, inflation create the panic and rape the nation.
We want it all.
Crisis creation. Incite black and white programs. Agitation.
You're surrounded by the UN in white and blue, the ACS, the Men in Black,
and
the One World Order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird
genetic combinations.
The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS
through Operation Paperclip.
National ID, debit card.
Yeah.
Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kids,
genetic engineering.
Clinton says there's health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood.
We want it all.
Mind manipulation. Inciting riots is crisis creation.
We want it all.
Chip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Plan confusion. Masonic religion. It's a lie. Not your praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
Ordo ab Cao. Socialistic disillusion. A socialistic Maximilian. However you want to say it, folks, things are not good. Now, in Arizona, we have a strong militia just about everywhere you go. Who are they? Where do they work? We don't talk about that. But we're always watching and listening and taking note and probing and testing. And tonight, you're going to hear about one of those probes. Our guest tonight is Paul, and that's all you're ever going to know about him. Paul, give us some history about the reports that have been coming out of this area where later we're going to discuss a recent confrontation.
Well, a friend of mine drives to and from work through a certain area to the west of Sholo, and on a regular basis, he gives me reports on unmarked sedans, as in LTDs, Crown Victorias, Broncos, and Blazers. Generally black, no external markings on the vehicles, no license plates on them.
No license plates?
No. No. There's a number of individuals that have been reporting this in our area. Every now and then we got to go out and take a look at these things.
Well, let's find out, how long has this been going on? I mean, how long have these reports been coming in?
Since the end of May.
Told me yesterday you were sitting at one of the local businesses out there, and you counted how many government, and these were all federal vehicles. How many did you count during the 1 hour period?
In 1 hour, there's five unmarked sedans, dark colored, black or dark chocolate brown. Three of which were LTDs, two of which were Crown Victorias. Then there were six Forest Service vehicles that came through, two state cops, two county cops, and two game and fish vehicles. In a 1 hour period of time, that's a pretty high concentration of vehicles of that sort to be coming through that area.
And all coming and going from the same general locality?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Now, this has sort of bothered people for a while. I know that I've been out there to look around. I didn't find anything when I went out, but I was on my way to Phoenix, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time looking. And recently, some things began to happen that really got people worried and asking questions. Trucks would go into an area and never be seen again.
Right.
And trucks would come out of an area where there are no businesses, no warehouses, no trucks, just forest.
Right.
And coming off of dirt tracks.
Right. So it's a dirt two-track. You know, generally you would think of a four-wheel drive or a high-center two-wheel drive vehicle taking these kind of roads.
Yeah, you didn't think I knew that, did you?
No, as a matter of fact, I did.
Okay. What has been the, and before we get into the meat of the matter, I want to talk about this some more. What has been the guesstimation of the locals out there as to what's going on? What does the folklore say? Because rumors spring up. When these things happen, rumors spring up, and pretty soon you've got little green-eyed aliens from Mars.
Right.
So what's the folklore about all of this stuff?
Supposedly, there is some kind of an underground facility that was constructed. A gentleman made mention of seeing the opening to this underground facility, described it as a huge hydraulic ram setup to where the door would open upward and then the trucks were driving down into this facility, down a ramp. Now, he made mention of it once to a friend of mine, and then it clammed up right now. He just hasn't said a word about it since. It was more like he slipped about it and tried covering his tracks by not saying anything further. So we've been out investigating it, you know, the report of this underground facility. We haven't located it exactly yet, but given time, we will. If it's there, we'll find it.
You know, just in case you're out there scratching your head and thinking that's ridiculously impossible, when I was writing my book and doing the research on the underground facilities that that the government had built for the continuity in government program back in the 50s, we actually discovered that there were, that we were able to discover at that time, 100 underground facilities built in various places around the United States. Some of them as large as cities with their own reservoirs, and one in Virginia under Mount Weather, which actually contains an entire government in waiting, complete with president, vice president, cabinet members, heads of agencies, and all of this stuff. Now, the excuse used to fund these programs and build these things was to be able to take the president to a place of safety in case of atomic attack. And remember, that was the big, scariest part of the Cold War. And then, of course, they said that they had to have assurance that there would be continuity in government in case Washington, D.C. was hit with an atomic bomb and wiped out. Now, some obvious questions would arise here. Who elected this president? Who appointed these cabinet members? I mean, where do these people come from? Who are they? And what assurance could any of us have that, that this is really the purpose of this program, or that these people really intend upon providing a continuity of our form of government, Republican government? Now, the fact that this is out in the middle of a national forest would tend to make you think twice about it being part of any kind of a program like this. But some of these facilities are in some of the remotest areas in the country. And indeed, if they're going to survive an atomic attack, that's exactly where they would have to be. But in my research, folks, I found out this has nothing to do with an atomic attack. In fact, the Cold War was set up between the United States and the Soviet Union to make sure that there would never be a war between the two major superpowers, but these wars would always be in third world nations, and there would never be any territorial gain by either side. And that's exactly the way it turned out. And this Cold War would be funded and maintained in order to allow them to extract huge amounts of money from the people of the world in order to fund the development of the technology which would be used to rule the population of the world in the New World Order. Now, again, I know some of you out there shaking your head saying, this guy's nuts. Well, folks, we're not nuts at all, and Star Wars is not the figment of somebody's imagination. Particle beam weapons have been around for a long time in secret. I can tell you with no hesitation whatsoever that particle beam weapons exist in space right now. We have witnessed the testing of some of these weapons, and not too long ago in the state of New Mexico, just west of Corozozo, there was a stretch of road where signs suddenly appeared along both sides of the road, spaced about 50 feet apart for several miles. And these signs said that if you were traveling on that road, you were prohibited from stopping, parking, slowing down, or anything. In other words, they just took a stretch of public highway and made it illegal to stop or slow down or to park your car. And if you broke down, there would be somebody there real quick to get you out of there. So two of our people coming through there stopped just on the outskirts of these signs on the western end, on the western side of Corozozo, and witnessed over a two-hour period the testing of particle beam weapons from satellites spaced about 4 minutes apart, a straight, thick beam of brilliant light would come straight down from space over this two-hour period, all spaced about 4 minutes apart. Now, you know me, folks. I don't like to believe anything unless I can check it out myself. And I went over there and witnessed exactly the same thing. Now, this was about a week and a half ago. So I don't know if the signs are still up, and I don't know if they're still doing the testing. But I can assure you that what we're talking about is not spaced out gossip. It's not baloney. These things are real. And we're going to get into the meat of some of this matter here pretty soon. Now, aside from this particular area, Paul, has anything else been happening around in this area? Have any other confrontations or mysterious movements of government vehicles or troops or anything like that occurred in this general area that the militia is aware of?
We have a number of Black Hawk helicopter sightings on a regular basis in our area. Jet black helicopters, no identification numbers, no markings on them. The same story that's been repeated across the country. There is another rumor of another underground facility to the west of Solo that I personally have been searching for. Again, this both of those facilities seem to have been completed prior to our investigations. We also have a report of East German troops to the west of us near a town called Strawberry, Arizona.
Well, we know that that's a fact. That's been verified.
Right. That's definitely a fact.
We also know that East German pilots fly in here quite regularly, land at the St. John's Airport in eight-seater airplanes. And we know that they're not conducting pilot training because there's a pilot in each of these eight seats.
Right.
What they're actually doing, folks, is they're learning the geography of the land for probably future flights that they'll be making in an aircraft that will be armed.
Quite correct.
And this is not only happening in the state of Arizona, but all over the country. We've chased down the contractor, and the contractor is out of an Air Force base near Phoenix. And in fact, it's the same Air Force base where recently a confrontation took place between East German, or German, I should say. We don't know if they were East German, but German United Nations troops near the city of Wickenburg in Arizona. And they were confronted by armed patriots who ordered them off the land and out of the country. They didn't go out of the country, but they went back to the Air Force Base. So these things are happening not just here in Arizona, but everywhere. And you need to be aware of it. And you, with your militia, needs to begin to develop a system of patrol your area to find out exactly what's going on around your cities and around your countryside where you live, so that you're not surprised when all of this stuff begins to happen. You'll be prepared. You'll have a plan of action. I hope, anyway, you'll have a plan of action and know what to do when the old proverbial you-know-what hits the thing that goes around. So these are things that I know that you're sitting out there and you're getting ready and you're building up your food supplies and your stocks of weapons and ammunition and you're mustering your militia units and you're recruiting new members. But are you really sitting down and making plans and developing strategies and scouting your own personal territory so that you'll be in the driver's seat, so to speak, instead of being what they're mopping up off the pavement? And I think that you'd better devote some time to thinking about these things. The people here have been thinking about these things for a long time and have developed all of these the things that I've just been discussing and have been taking advantage of the time that we have in order to become more prepared and not be on the defensive, but be on the offensive. There's an old adage in the military, especially those of us who have actually fought in a war. There is no defensible position. The only way that you can make sure that you have a chance of surviving is if you are the aggressor, if you are the one who makes the attack. If you engage the enemy according to your plans and not their plans, if you find yourself constantly on the defensive, you're not going to last very long. If you are, on the other hand, constantly on the offensive, and you've done your reconnaissance, you've made your plans, you've developed your strategies, you have contingencies to fall back on, you have escape routes, you have places to disperse to and regroup, you have scattered your caches of necessary supplies, arms, and ammunition, then you're going to be the one that survives. You're going to be the one that is going to be left after it's all over to shake hands with the other smart people who are left. So I want to assure you that the purpose of this broadcast is not to scare you, but to prepare you. That's necessary, and I don't think enough of that is being done out there. I think there's a lot of talk, not enough action, and I think that that's got to change real quick. We don't have too much time left. I don't know if you've been looking around. I don't know how well you've been listening to the news, watching what's happening in Congress. I really hope that you have been paying attention, but in case you haven't, you better understand there's not a whole lot of time left to prepare. And when they come to take us away, if you're not ready to resist that with every means available to you, and remember the law is on our side. We're not subverting anything. We're not destroying anything. The subversion and the rebellion has already taken place, ladies and gentlemen. Our country, our government, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, everything that we've loved and cherished and that many Americans have fought and died for throughout the history of this nation has been taken away from us. It's already gone. It's a done deal. And you had better understand that. There's always the hope that with things like the Constitution Party, if enough people get behind it, that we might be able to exert enough political force to change things around. But I got to tell you, we can't count on that. We can't put all our eggs in one basket. Remember, the law's on our side, and when all this happens, we will be the restoration force. We will be attempting to restore the nation, to in fact stop the traitors and do whatever we need to do, and we will be justified in doing whatever we need to do to put them where they belong, and that's in prison until they can be tried by a jury of their peers according to the Constitution, and then taken care of according to whatever the sentence is handed down by a judge if they are found guilty. So I want you to think about all these things while we're discussing these incidents this evening. And these incidents are happening more frequently across the nation. Recently, in Alaska, Chinese troops began going house to house in rural areas, and some Americans in very inaccessible parts of Alaska have been visited and already have had inventories of their arms taken. Now, these visits to these remote areas and to these cabins and these people who live in these areas in Alaska have been under the guise of searching for drugs and drug dealers. But in every instance that's been reported to us and that's been verified by us, their sole interest was how many weapons do you have, where do you keep them, and an inventory has been taken. They have not yet taken anyone's weapons, but they have taken inventory of the weapons. So be advised that if you allow anyone from any law enforcement agency or any government agency whatsoever into your home, they will, if your weapons are in view, they will take inventory of whatever weapons that you have so that they will know where to go and what to look for. And if they come and you say you don't have it, and they know that you do, you're going to be put through some terrible times. Folks, they are serious about disarming the American people and the rest of the world. They are serious about bringing into the world their one-world totalitarian, socialist, utopian government, which in no case is going to be utopian, except maybe for those at the top. And if you don't believe that, just go back and research what's happened in every country that socialism has ever risen to power. It'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. How long have you been associated with the militia, Paul?
Oh, 9 years. Actively for the past four years, I'm sorry, actively.
Now, there's a lot of people out there are going to be really shocked that anybody has been participating in a militia organization in this country for 9 years, because a lot of people don't understand that some of us have known what's going on for as long as 22 years.
I've been following this actually on an individual level for the past 15 years. A lot of people that I know are shocked at that.
Now, without giving away any statistics or locations or numbers, just how strong is the militia where you're located?
Quite. Very well organized on a cellular level. Very well interlinked communication-wise. Preparedness is not quite 100%, but this area is about as secure as we can make it ourselves.
And I can guarantee you, folks, it's about 100 times more prepared and more secure than most of you out there. Not all of you. I know that some of you out there are on the same level of involvement and preparedness as Paul and many other people. But most of you are not. And one of the things that I have to impress upon you tonight, and the reason I'm asking these questions and talking about these things, is to make you understand that you must do these things and you must do them quickly. You must get ready. I personally believe that when they decide to pull the string that starts all this stuff off and rips the rug out from under the American people, I believe it's going to be in the coldest part of the winter, probably around Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I want to warn you, if you're a known patriot leader, you had better not be home 2 or 3 days on either side of Thanksgiving or Christmas, no matter what the hardship, no matter that you don't get to have your Christmas tree, no matter that you don't get to have your turkey, because I'm telling you, folks, I've researched these people, I know them, and I know how they think, and they're going to want to catch everybody all at one time within a very short period of time, and there's only two times in the year in the United States of America where they could be guaranteed that most Americans will be home. Will be full of turkey, will be unsuspecting, full of Christmas cheer or Thanksgiving cheer, maybe had a few drinks of alcohol under their belt, sound asleep sawing logs at 2 o'clock in the morning, the doors are going to come off their hinges. And they're going to concentrate initially only upon known patriot leaders. This is a fact. The theory, without leadership, the rest of America will be confused and helpless, and generally, they're right. So, you should also prepare yourselves and your units to be able to survive and fight and do what you have to do if your leader is taken from you. Don't rely upon one person or even upon just two people. If these people are known to be patriot leaders, there will be a serious attempt to either capture them or kill them. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets that can protect you in the times that are sure to come, not too far in the distant future. You see, it wasn't long ago when Linda Thompson and I were telling you what was happening, what was going on. We were telling you about Soviet equipment in the United States, about Soviet and other foreign military personnel entering the United States to participate in joint maneuvers. And Tom Valentine was telling you that we were crazy. Tonight, I heard him tell you that we're not crazy, only he didn't mention our names. He just verified everything that we were telling you a long time ago. So you better pay attention. The Johnny-come-latelys are beginning to understand what's happened. And for those of you who think this is wild speculation or that we're crazy maniacs, we have proven it, ladies and gentlemen. We've done our research. For those of you who have not ordered the treason papers, you should do so because it's 628 pages of official United States government documents that prove every single word that you have heard tonight. State Department documents, treaties, statutes in law, executive orders written and signed by the president. This is no joke. This is real. There is going to be a one-world totalitarian socialist government. All nations and all peoples will be disarmed. The military forces of the United States and what used to be the Soviet Union will be combined and will form what will be known as the peacekeeping forces of the world. Anyone who resists or will not go along with it, if they're not the victor, will be crushed and annihilated. These are facts. This is not conjecture, and you had better understand it. One of the ways that you need to be prepared is you must have something that you can use as money when all of this stuff breaks down and everything is uncertain. And nobody will touch a Federal Reserve note with a 10-foot pole because it won't be worth a wooden nickel covered with spit. Gold and silver are the only things in the history of the world who have ever met that need. So call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. Don't go away. We're going to hear about the confrontation that took place, what happened, and then we're going to take your calls. The number to call is 602-337-2524. And don't start calling yet because we're not going to pick up the phone until you've heard this tale. And folks, it's chilly. It's chilly. It'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And these things are going to begin to happen where you live, not too far in the future. Tell us, what were you doing in the forest on the day that this all took place? Oh, and how many days had you been out in the forest previously?
Oh, that's a hard one to answer there.
I mean, just in pursuit of this type of thing.
Oh, I'd say about a month that I've been going out on a regular basis, say every other day to every 3 days I'm out there looking.
And these are formal
armed patrols of the Arizona Militia?
Undoubtedly, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about that day? What happened? When did you go out? How long were you out there? What were you doing? You don't have to give particular locations or anything like that, but tell us the story.
Well, the day before, we're talking a week ago, a good friend of mine come by and said that he had been harassed by some feds out in the woods, and so I told him, well, why don't you take me out there where you were, and let's check it out, see if we can run across these individuals again. So we went out, and we were driving around out in the woods, and we had parked in a...
Now, wait a minute. These people aren't from places like where we live. How are you driving around in the woods?
Okay, we're talking two-wheel dirt tracks, just your regular, wood-cutting roads out in the woods.
And what kind of vehicle?
We were in a four-wheel drive Datsun pickup.
Okay.
Two-wheel drives to make it out there, no problem this time of year. But, there's a lot of roads crisscrossing the National Forest out in this area. And we were just out driving around on various roads out there. And we had come to a stop on the west side of a wash. And we were watching a plane off, say a half mile, three quarters of a mile off. All of a sudden that plane did a long bank and it come right over the top of us. We're talking 40, 50 feet off the ground. Right above us, and as he exited the wash, leaving us, he wagged his wings like he was saying hi to us. But as we were soon to find out, it wasn't saying hi to us. He was saying okay to someone else.
He was signaling your position to somebody else who was looking for you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, this vehicle that I was in is out in that area on a regular basis. So maybe they had it marked prior to our arrival in the woods that day, maybe not. But we decided it was time to head out. I had a meeting with an individual, and we needed to get going so I could make it in time for that meeting. Well, less than 10 minutes after the plane flew over us, coming head on at us was a black blazer, chocolate brown, almost black blazer. So I had my buddy stop, and I got out of the passenger side of the truck with a weapon over my shoulder, and my friend stayed at the driver's door of the truck. He got out but did not leave the door. Two individuals were in the blazer. The driver got out and advanced forward towards me. The passenger stayed at his door, and the driver immediately started telling us that we were in a restricted area and that we were to leave immediately. And I disagreed with him and told him that I was in the National Forest and I have a National Forest service map right here on the front seat. There is no restricted area in the entire National Forest system here. And he said, no, this is a restricted area and you are to leave.
Now, before you go any further, I want everybody out there listening to know that this wasn't really an accident. You were out there looking for this kind of confrontation in order to find out who these people were and to what length they would go to if they were, in fact, confronted by armed militia.
That's correct.
Okay. Continue.
So, he was stating that this was a restricted area, and I asked him, why is it a restricted area? And he said that it was none of my concern. It's just that I was to leave the area. And I argued with him, and he started requesting ID. He told us that he needed to see some ID on us. And I looked at him and I said, no, I need to see your ID first. Who are you? And they had already stated that they were Game and Fish officials, and...
But they didn't prove it.
No.
And aside from the red and blue light on this black blazer or deep chocolate brown blazer, there was nothing that would have separated them from armed terrorists.
Nothing at all.
How were they dressed?
They had on dark chocolate brown slacks and light tan shirts. No insignia on the shirts whatsoever. No shoulder patch, no name patch, no ID on the outside of the shirt whatsoever. Both of them were wearing the Beretta 92SP 9mm pistols.
Which is not a Forest Service issue, is it?
No.
Who wears that weapon?
As far as I know, it's FBI issue. And I do believe U.S. military.
Yes, some elements of the military
right.
do use that weapon.
But as far as producing ID, that was also none of my concern. They were federal employees, and that they were not answer. They did not have to answer to me.
Now, you're not guessing at this. This is what they told you?
This is what they told me, yes.
They said they were federal employees, and they did not have to answer to you, and they didn't have to show you any ID.
Correct. Correct. And, of course, being of the mind that I am, I had to argue again with him on that point. He didn't like my arguing with him. Now, the passenger never said a word. He stayed back at his door and allowed the driver to do all the talking. And the same was true for myself and my friend. My friend stayed at his door, and I had advanced to the front of the truck and did all the talking for us. Things got a little heated. I was upset, to say the least, with this individual. You know, he's telling me that I don't have the right to request identification from him, even though his vehicle did not have any insignia on it. No marks whatsoever showing that it's a government vehicle. Also, Game and Fish do not drive chocolate brown Blazers. In our county, that is primarily the county sheriff's vehicles that are that color, but they're all marked with the county logo.
And these guys said that they were definitely federal employees, were not county sheriffs.
Right. They stated that they were Game and Fish, and they were investigating a poaching in the area. Well, the poaching that they were talking about, I had witnessed a couple days earlier than that, 15 miles to the east of this location. There shouldn't have been any investigation going on in that area for that poaching to begin with. If you're going to claim to be Game and Fish, you should be driving a Game and Fish vehicle.
And if you are, you shouldn't really hesitate to show somebody your ID. I mean, many people have been robbed by somebody dressed like cops.
Sure, you bet.
It happens all the time, in fact. And in fact, up in Washington State, they're beginning to believe that the Green River serial killer is a police officer or someone who dresses like a police officer. So, go ahead.
Well,
what happened next?
At one point there, like I said, I was getting a little agitated with this individual. He began to get agitated with me, and he moved his right hand from having his fist tucked into his hip to having his open hand right above his weapon. So I advanced my left hand to my weapon.
In other words, he made a threatening gesture to you.
Yes.
This is not unusual, folks. When federal officers confront people who challenge their authority, frequently they will put their hand on their pistol butt in an effort to intimidate whoever is challenging them. This happened to me in Waco, Texas, when I was taking pictures of the ATF. One of the ATF agents approached me, put his hand on the butt of his pistol in a threatening manner as if he was going to draw it, and told me to give him my film, which I didn't do. And he didn't draw his weapon because there were a lot of people standing around watching. I'm just telling you this so that you'll know that this is not unusual for them to do that. They try to intimidate rather than do what they should do.
Right. Well, he obviously was trying to intimidate, but was unsuccessful there. I immediately, as I said, grabbed my weapon with my left hand, which put me in the position to where all I would have to do is drop my right shoulder and the game's on.
Mm-hmm.
When I grabbed my weapon, he immediately put his hands out to his sides, stepped one step backwards, and started talking about how there was no need for any violent motions here. There's no need for violence here now. And I immediately came back at him with, "You made the first aggressive move. You instigated it. You started this," and he went back to wanting ID, and I refused again, told him, "No, you're not going to get ID," and he wanted to then search the vehicle. And he was flat denied that. He, at one point, asked me to place my weapon on the hood of our vehicle, and I told him, I will if you will. If you take your weapon and place it on the hood of your vehicle, I will do the same. Of course, he denied that. You know, he was not even remotely interested in taking his weapon off. The conversation went on for a few minutes longer. The whole time period took about 45 to 50 minutes for this to elapse. Finally, I told him, look, this conversation has ended. You're not going to get what you want out of it. I'm not going to get what I want out of it. We're going to leave. And I told him that if he and his colleague felt like popping a couple rounds in our backs as we were leaving, that was their choice. We got in the vehicle, keeping my weapon clear of the window. And my buddy, being the driver that he is, left them in a cloud of dust. And as we went past the back of their vehicle, I looked at the back, and there was no license plate there. There was no license plate on the front of the vehicle. There was no license plate on the back, no insignia anywhere, just the red and blue light in the grill and the red and blue light in the rear window.
And everything they did was illegal under the color of law, refused to produce identification, tried to intimidate you, tried to get your weapons, tried to search your automobile, and you wouldn't let them do that. They didn't get what they wanted, but in fact, even though you said you weren't going to get what you wanted, you did get what you were after, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And the Arizona militia is a little bit wiser because of that. Okay, folks, we're going to take your calls now. You can talk to Paul if you want to. 602-337-2524 is the number. And if you're smart, you'll take advantage of this situation because this isn't the first time this has happened up here, and it's not going to be the last. We live in a place where people aren't afraid. They live with weapons, and it's very safe here for those of us who live here. If you don't live here and nobody knows you, you might not be as safe, but if you do, you are. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. How are you today?
Just fine.
All right, well, I have an opinion. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, right next to New Jersey. With the beginning of registration of all firearms, they know where you live. They can come and get you, so it's over with. I believe that they're going to get all the weapons.
Only if you give it to them.
What are we going to do, Waco every house in the state?
No, there's not that many of them. See, if you're so quick to give up and march
in... Instead of giving up, I just say they know where everyone's going to be, and they'll be here Thanksgiving or Christmas.
You just said it's all over.
Well, it is all over. I agree.
That's giving up. You've given up.
I'm saying I'm giving up. I'm saying I'm fighting. But I believe once they have the firearms registered, that's the end. That's what they did in 1938.
No, that's not the end. 1938, nobody resisted. Nobody fought. Everybody turned over their firearms.
Because they were weak.
We're going to turn over our firearms, but we're going to do it bullets first.
So every place is going to be Randy Weaver, Waco.
What, you want to be a slave?
Not at all.
I'd rather be dead myself.
There's going to be a lot of that. When do you think this is going to happen? Do we have a time frame?
Not too far off. Maybe even this winter. Who knows?
Okay. Keep up the good work. I wish you well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wish you well, too. Don't give up, folks. Let me break this down into some statistics that maybe you can understand. If you even venture to imagine how many American patriots there are who are willing to die for liberty, are willing to fight and possibly die for their liberty, then you have to understand that the enemy is grossly outnumbered. And if each one of us just manages to get one of them, it'll all be over very quickly and we will be the victor. Because these people don't believe in the United Nations. They're not willing to die for the United Nations flag. They've sold their country out for a measly little paycheck and the promise of a comfortable retirement on a government pension. That's what they're really fighting for. And when they begin to take heavy casualties and learn that they're not going to live to see that pension, the war's going to be over. And you better understand that. These are just a bunch of cowardly pukes who have sold their country out for the promise of a pension. And that's the truth of the matter. There's nobody who gets all goosebumpety and gets a lump in their throat when the United Nations flag marches by. Don't be so quick to give up, because it ain't going to be all over. I can guarantee you that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
We've done, in our area, we've done a little research on I know we can't cover all law enforcement agencies, but every conceivable law enforcement agency that we would operate in, and gotten a written policy statement on the issue on the, you know, showing the ID and the badge.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone states that their officers will show an ID and a badge, you know, a photo ID. And, you know, I mean, we know from that policy statement that if no one does, and they claim to be from that area, or from that agency, if confronted, that they're either bogus or they're not doing what the policy is. So that helps in our intelligence. I mean, obviously we can't cover all the bases, but it gives us a more confidence in any potential confrontation, you know, knowing that we have this, you know, all in writing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know, but don't be so quick to trust that just because they put it in writing. They'll do anything to pacify you as long as they can.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, if something were to come out, you know,
mm-hmm.
any legal entanglements or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, if I showed that to a jury of my peers, should it ever reach that point, you know, that would be at least, you know, that I'm not trying to make trouble for somebody, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you've got to understand that you've got to stand up to, we all have to stand up to these people. I've been accosted by these people many, many times when I was out actively investigating the Groom Lake area in Nevada. I was on public BLM land, nowhere near the boundary where they had authority, and they would come out and intimidate me and point weapons at me and threaten me and everything else. And whenever they did that, I'd give them a copy of the Constitution and call the sheriff.
I just want to reiterate what you've said all along, and it stands by this policy. Once you bow your head and give in to them, you've surrendered your rights.
Right. That's the only time that it's all over.
That's right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524. Did you have something that you wanted to say, Paul? I saw you sort of gesturing over there.
Well, now what this last individual just described, the members of those various law enforcement agencies are going to produce ID. Sure, they will if they are from the enforcement agency that they're a member of.
Right.
These individuals claim to be game and fish.
And in fact, we know that they weren't.
They were not.
Yeah.
They will lie to you.
Quite frequently. Oh, yes.
Flat out. You cannot take their word.
They have no conscience, folks. Anybody who would blatantly disregard the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and gas a 4-year-old girl in a hotel room because somebody had an argument, believe me, if they thought they'd get away with it, they wouldn't hesitate to shoot you because they didn't like your looks, and that's the truth of the matter. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Oh, who did you ever determine these people were out in the woods? Any idea?
Paul?
No, I wouldn't have any idea exactly who they were. There was, as I said, no insignia. They would not produce ID. All they said was that they were game and fish, and they were federal employees. So they were trying to say that they were federal game and fish, but...
Was there some kind of facility out there that they were working with? Some hidden facility?
That is what our suspicion is. That's why I was in that area.
That's what all the investigations point to so far, although
right.
It has not been absolutely pinpointed.
I think it might be nationwide that they're using the same technique in vehicles and uniforms and that sort of thing.
Well, not only that, we have reports from personnel who work for Ryder Truck Rental that large numbers of military personnel are renting Ryder trucks.
Right.
So when you pass a Ryder rental truck on the highway, it might be carrying military equipment.
Okay, and is this at least statewide that you're pretty sure of in Arizona that these are brown shirts or whatever they are?
Oh, this is happening all over the state of Arizona, not just with the brown shirts who speak English and drive vehicles with no license plates and threaten citizens, but with foreign troops, specifically in the instances that we know of. They've been German, there have been some Chinese, and a few other, when the ninja types came to St. John's, there were some people who spoke Arabic.
So far, I've only heard of these instances out in the Midwest so far. I'm calling from the East Coast, and
Well, you're in the heart and soul of socialist America.
Oh yeah, I know it.
They're not going to have too much trouble on the northeast.
No wonder they're doing it out there first. Okay.
Out here is where liberty blossoms and everybody owns a weapon.
I wish I was out there with you.
Well,
bye bye.
Plenty of room. Come on out. Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that just about does it. Paul, is there anything you want to say, any message you want to give to those people out there listening while you have a chance? I know you're one of those people who doesn't say much, and when you do, it's usually important, and people should listen. And if you're holding a weapon, they better listen doubly.
Doubly so.
So go ahead. You got about 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
People, you got to get your communications in order. As Bill said, get your backup plans, your contingency plans set in your groups, and know your area. Get in touch with other militia units in other states, and get your land navigation going. This is something that I stress to everyone. You must be able to use a compass. You're not going to be able to stay on the highways. You've got to get your land navigation down so that you can meet each other across long distances at a certain given time and go about your missions. Get your weapons in order. It's coming. This is not a joke. This is not a lie. This is not a farce.
And remember, folks, stay legal. Stay legal. The law is on our side as long as we stay legal. We are the patriots. We are attempting to restore our proper government and restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights to their rightful place as the supreme law of the land. The enemy are traitors. They have destroyed this great nation. They've destroyed our government. They have ripped our Constitution and Bill of Rights to shreds. They are building a police state much like Nazi Germany had. This is no joke. Good night. God bless you. And God save this republic.
Representing scientific fact, namely the concluded by Washington and Tokyo that Pyongyang has diverted bomb-producing plutonium into a weapons program. But North Korea's warned that continued pressures will cause them to withdraw from nuclear inspections altogether. John Messier, USA Radio News at the United Nations.
A new book out by World Bank author Bob Woodward shows President Clinton is in the South of Britain and leading a chaotic White House. Clinton was asked about the book while in France.
I'm a fan for five. You have to have a high tone for yourself to be as powerful as America today. But, you know, I say to the people, I'm a book fan. People don't like my process. I like to get people together around the table and everybody say what they want and argue and debate and fight. And I think that's the way ideas get fleshed out. In a new and difficult time, I don't think you're going to have a hidebound decision-making process when you're entering a world where no one has the answers but myself with. But my critics, that's how it resolves.
Colonel Woodward was on CNN's Larry King show tonight. That worked for a White House spin doctor online. This is USA Radio News. If your home still has its original windows, chances are they're hard to keep clean and even harder to slide open and shut. Don't struggle anymore. Replace them with Sears Premium Replacement Windows. There's not a window around that's easier to maintain. Many tell them for easy cleaning from inside your home. Plus, they're self-lubricating to slide open and shut without effort. Call 1-800-652-2211 for a free in-home estimate and save 10% up to $500. Sears Replacement Windows won't rust, rot, or warp. Plus, they never need to be painted, ever. They're virtually the perfect window. So if your own windows are a sticky subject, call 1-800-652-2211 and save 10% up to $500. They're sold, furnished, and carefully installed by American Remodeling Incorporated, a Sears authorized contractor. Not available on addresses. Offer ends May 15th. So call now, 1-800-652-2211. That's 1-800-652-2211. Sears ad is being reviewed by the Michigan Supreme Court. USA's Bill Arbuckle has more.
The Michigan Supreme Court will take up the issue of assisted suicide this fall. The state Supreme Court has scheduled oral arguments for October in the state's capital. The court says it will look at the constitutionality of Michigan's ban on assisted suicide, as well as consider applying murder charges to acts of assisted suicide. The cases being reviewed include murder charges against Dr. Jack Tavorkian. The review by the state Supreme Court is considered the last stop before the issue goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Arbuckle, USA Radio News, New Haven, Michigan.
Police in St. Augustine, Florida, arrested a 21-year-old man in connection with the pipe bombing of a Kmart store back in December in the Jacksonville area. Four people were injured in that explosion. The suspect has been identified as James Mellon.